Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
another Wednesday evening. Welcome as we convene. Well, not convene yet, as the Liars Club won't meet until next week, but we speak from the site of this year's draft, Kansas City. Welcome to Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. And as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, sponsored by BASN Newsroom and the members of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good stuff. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. This evening, folks, because the draft is coming up, we need to remind you that the NFL is getting over like a fat rat in a cheese factory. They've made buku buck from this, and as if they needed help, all the draft is done is turn the NFL into one of several cash streams where before there was a cash cow, there's a whole pasture. And at times, cash heading toward the bank can sound like a stampede. You get the idea. Anyway, one thing that has been making the NFL most successful in this endeavor is the marketing of it. In the NFL, they out WWE to WWE because for years they clearly defined who the good guys and the bad guys were. And I don't mean the bad guys like in the animated movie where the big bad wolf shows up and shit. We're talking about genuine bad guys. They make teams that you love to hate, for better or for worse. Yes, indeed. The Raider fans, when they come out, they don't play around. I have my brother Tony McLean with me, and as with the draft, the fans come and they bring their own vibe with them. Now, for years, it was a local affair, but the draft has turned into an actual road show. I got my brother Gary Grimm as well, and you hear all this, you see all this. I don't think, in all honesty, guys, that the NFL thought they'd make money by taking the draft elsewhere. They never looked at it as a potential cash cow because no one thought folks would pay to see the draft go elsewhere. And good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I don't, you know, I think they thought it would make a certain amount, but it's, you know, needless to say, it has exceeded that and then some. And as you said, it is now one of the league's top heifer draws, in a sense, because I mean, now we've been, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the draft before, Gar. Me and Mike, I know we've covered a bunch of them, and the one thing that that the NFL does do, especially for the first round, or as we like to call it, NFL Idol now. if you are physically there, there's also, you know, sort of what you see, what they've done since they've taken it to the road. You got big video boards. There's a lot
That's
of hype.
True.
There's a lot of NFL film stuff. It's, you know, you see everybody in different, you know, you see, you know, merchandise is sold. You know, bunch of media folk is sort of now when it was at Radio City, in a sense, the media was right there with the fans. And in some instances, they may recognize some of the media folk. And, you know, there's the green room effect. Now, Mike, we were there for the whole Aaron Rodgers fiasco when.
Oh, God, yeah.
When he was basically sitting in the green room, overdosing on grape Kool-Aid. Yeah, before he. Yeah. No, I think he actually had Hostess Ho-Hos, but I can't really remember.
They pumped us up with so much sugar. You had fruit, you had candy, and it seemed like it was nonstop. They made sure you had stuff to keep going. And Gary, you know, nothing can be more Raider than hearing waves of Wagnerian music in the scale of sea, stormtroopers squashing John Elway and smacking charges and Broncos upside the head. You know, it's like, it's the kind of red meat any Raider fan worth their salt would love. And that's the vibe that you get going into the draft.
You know, I didn't pay attention to the draft until about the 80s, the middle 80s.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that was a complete circus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It was the first 10 guys. And then the next day, you hardly ever see anything. Now it's three days in a row. Three complete days in a row.
Yeah.
It's true. That is true.
Think of it, Mike. When it was first pitched to the mouse, the whole thing was, well, I mean, for Christ's sakes, this is like reading the telephone directory on TV. But
oh yeah,
you know, but not now. I don't remember now. I think the first draft I actually watched was somewhere in the 80s. I remember I got up early that morning because it was starting at 9. I want to say it was the Bo Jackson draft when he basically told Tampa, do not draft me or I will kill you and your family. And
I think that's
And that's basically, you know, then of course, you know, Hugh Culverhouse being the Mensa candidate that he's always been, just said, to hell with you. We're going to draft you. And, you know, that was, as we all remember, that worked out oh so well for Bo.
Oh, you sure did.
But yeah, think of it. Even from Bill Tobin basically threatening to kill Mel Kiper on national television,
Mel Kiper anyway?
That was fun. He was already half croc as it was. So that's that just added even more to it. Now it's funny. Now the draft is especially like we had already had the relationship with Cowboy Reggie, Tony, and the Professor. With Sports Talk, but I actually was there live, and they put me on live, and people were like, I remember that. Oh my God, he's actually there, and apparently there was like a 7-second delay from TV because I was big because like they say, so are they going to draft like the whole scuttlebutt was like he was asking me, hey, how high is McNair going to go? Well, he just got picked by the Houston Oilers third overall. And they said, really? We're not even seeing that. And then literally it's like, oh, man, he just went off. It was very surreal. Now, we were also there for the whole Mario Williams, Reggie Bush deal as well.
Yeah.
It's an event that literally has evolved over the years.
It's grown
and,
into one for sure.
And now that it has been basically become this traveling road circus now, as I was telling you the other night, I don't think we'll ever see it at Radio City back in the day, like we did back in the day. I think those days are gone. I mean, maybe they do one token down the road, but I think now, I think, and see, especially now, you've got cities that are bidding for it now like they bid for a Super Bowl.
Well, they know there's certain places that won't get Super Bowls. So getting a draft to them can be the next best thing. Especially since they would stretch it out over three days or thereabouts. And if you go to a city where it's amenable, I can see you might make a penny or two off it. Like, well, New Orleans, I mentioned New Orleans subconsciously, but I love New Orleans food-wise. When it came to the Super Bowl, I did 2 Super Bowls in New Orleans. And I would be big as a fucking house if I stayed there because all I know is y'all come on down here and I go get some crawfish and make some etouffee because everything was so good. I mean, I was addicted to the food for no joke. And as much as we make the bones about the Raiders and the fact that the Raiders are the bad guys, the good guys have always been the Dallas Cowboys. How many times have you seen America's Team videos or highlight films where the Cowboys are da 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 da. And, you know, here comes the road. Here comes Roger the Dodger, all heroic and shit. You know, Tony Dorsett, Tony Hill. I mean, it's all up in front of you, and it's like, yeah, we're loving this. But
every day it rains, come on, this much.
It's
true. But
yeah,
one thing,
I mean, it's the ultimate. It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate marketing. You know, and see, in many ways, I don't know if you guys agree with this because it uses elements of it. It's almost like it's the new NFL films for the league in the sense of using
That's
it to
exactly
push
right.
to push yes. product because now everybody and their mama thinks that they're a draft expert for the most part. You know, and that's a 2-hour conversation in and of itself, having to, you know, deal with that crap. But it's literally like another quote unquote, dare I say it, a Midas touch for the NFL in the sense of it pushing of them, you know, marketing the league and what have you. I mean, you know, what's that line? You're not, you know, you sell the, you don't sell the, you sell the sizzle, not the steak. And they've got, this is another one of those ones where they're literally, you know, I mean, it's you know, you're selling, you're basically selling the league, you're selling the new players and all the other stuff.
Right.
Put it this way, as an aside, the NBA. Announced the other day that all the draft eligible players, it's mandatory now that they go to the NBA Combine. If you don't go to the NBA Combine, you will not be drafted. Now, I think, again, that's another, you know, I think that's them taking their cues from the NFL because No. It's in the CBA, Gar. So.
Yeah.
I mean, put this way. Put this way. To me, that's like, wow. I gotta go to the Underwear Olympics. You know, I mean, I don't get it. Now, granted, my grandson was basketball.
I believe that this is another form of modernized slavery. I really believe that.
Oh, absolutely. And this is just the NBA. This is just the NBA getting their basically the NBA getting their 3.5 cents.
Right. You have to conform. They see what the NFL does, and they see that they succeed with it. We got Reggie with us as well, and Reggie, nothing can be more gaudy than the fact that Washington, if it's not the most viable team in the league, is close to the top. And they did in spite of the fact that the owner has done everything just about ass backwards, they might have a championship or two to claim for it, but the fans get there. And it's like another wave of revenue that they'll be willing to spend in spite of how good or bad the team is.
Well, gentlemen, good evening. I guess y'all heard the latest about the individual that claims he got $50 billion. And it's a black individual. I forgot his name, but this DC is on fire. And he came on the Junkie Show 106.7 for instruction purposes only. And he got signing money. He got overseas money. Well, this individual, I'm sure Gary can Google it. He owes Sean Marion, young man who played linebacker for University of Maryland and the San Diego Chargers, $3 million, which he has not paid this man.
Yep.
He has not won but two lawsuits. for $250,000 that he borrowed and has not paid back. Another one for $90,000. But But here comes the fun part, Tony. He claimed that he got his money from white folks and said it on the air just like that. He said, I got my money from white folks. I got money from a Jew. I got money from an Asian. I got money from Arabs. I got money from white folks. And the guys on the junkie said, did you just say that? And to me, it's a disgrace because there are plenty influential black folks that are trying to do business the right way. And you always got to have some shite that got to come in and act a damn fool at the 11th hour. Talking about the Kremlin building known as wherever they played the Burden and go play the games in Orlando, Maryland, putting some kind of dome on it that nobody never heard of before. See, this is the kind of bullshit that goes on. We have individuals that have a certain agenda that is not collusive with anybody else. And he called Magic Johnson Uncle Tom because PG County, which Prince George County, which is one of the most wealthy black counties in the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the people in Maryland should benefit from having a team there since they're the ones that put up the most money in taxes and revenue. So this
right.
is the bullshit that's going on in Maryland.
It's interesting that he would go after Magic. I'm willing to bet you Magic has probably employed more black people than this guy has.
No shit.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
Don't let common sense get in the way of a nice, you know, of a nice rant, you know? But
yeah,
see,
but
you know, look, let's put it this way. Even though his cut with the Dodgers and some of these other places may not be as much. This guy wouldn't have the opportunity to buy a team if it wasn't for the fact that Magic and other folks, you know, made the inquiries. But it's funny how this is the LBOC. This is somebody that you know, even though he's got money. He doesn't have any common damn sense. That's basically crabs in a barrel thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate crabs in a barrel. Now again, is this guy gonna, you know, now if he gets it, good. I mean, look,
he ain't getting it. They shut him down already. The biz already is.
He didn't help. It didn't help himself by going on and selling Wolf tickets, as well.
True.
But that's a 2-hour conversation in and of itself. But
yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
We've got
it's a shame.
The professor. We got the professor and Patrick Farrar both with us, and it's part
Gentlemen.
Of the cover that comes with the draft. That the fans bring their flavor. Fred brings the confidence that a 6-time champion brings. So he doesn't usually have much to say. And I would imagine he wouldn't have much to say. He lets those championships speak for themselves. Patrick, being a proud Ohio State alumnus, has gotten on the fact that Ohio State may be quarterback university. Did I see choices where Buckeyes have come in and done damage, a proof that the school has been effective in bringing talent to the league? And gentlemen, good evening to you both.
Good evening.
What up? What up?
How are you, man?
What up, yo?
Good to hear from you, Tony.
Hey, they let me out of the asylum for a couple minutes tonight, so that's the reason.
I'm mad. Mm-hmm. Return of the Mac. The Mac is back. Return of the Mac.
Well, let's look into the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are always labeled the good guys or the baby faces, as they say in wrestling or wrestling, and we got a different wrinkle this time. Jerry Jones, the owner, is pissed. He's pissed.
Again?
Not because the guy, not because Cowboys lose. I mean, they're a winning franchise. Not
hey, Mike, his face slipped didn't go through this time? What happened? He didn't get his face slipped? His Jerry face
slipped? Jerry is mad because Dak Prescott, his quarterback, is not white. And he
no
wants a white
that.
Quarterback. I mean, he is thirsty for a white quarterback. You know for a fact.
Tony Romo, the little white Mexican. He should have had with Tony Romo, the little white Mexican.
But he won't trade.
Yeah, that's just it. The whole problem is he's not going to trade. He can't say, I got to get rid of Prescott because Prescott wins the games. Regardless of all the other stuff, he has a winning record. He has his record the old-fashioned way. He earned it. Jerry Jones wants a championship, and he wants to get it the old-fashioned way and steal it. And we don't know whether or not
typical Arkansas bootlegger.
You ain't wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
So,
if you can't buy it, steal it.
Do you think Dak Prescott?
And I'm Richard Petty. You ain't cheating if you ain't trying to win.
I take Reggie to the panel.
Yes,
do
sir.
You think Dak Prescott will be wearing a Dallas Cowboy jersey by the end of the draft?
By end of his contract?
End of the draft.
No, by the end of this draft. By the end of this draft. This, at the
hell
end
yeah.
Of the month,
yeah. Hell yeah. They ain't got nobody out there. He won't. And like I said, Jerry and his son, Ted Klansman, 1 and 2, will always find a way to screw things up. So as long as Jerry Redneck, Arkansas Jones, to stand in front of the school and say, don't let them niggas in here. Keep them niggas out. Let's not forget that. Jerry, I was just observing. I don't know what was going on. I was just looking. Yeah, okay, right, Jerry. Put the sign down with the hood on it. Don't even try.
Indeed.
Am I wrong? Somebody tell me something. I will
say this about Stephen Jones. He did basically talk his dad out of drafting Johnny Foosball a few years back. That might be No, I'm not talking about Johnny Foosball. I'm talking about Jerry Jones. But I guess with both.
Yeah. The one that got sued for a baby out of wedlock. Oh, dear.
No. Well, see, now I don't know which one you're talking about. Because.
Jerry said, I don't remember that. That between the second and third martini.
Me don't speak English. Okay. No, Mike. In terms of Jerry, you know, your perspective is really outside the box. But you know something? Even though it's outside the box, but I wouldn't put it past him to do something. Maybe not that drastic measure, but doing something. But
okay.
His son has reined him back in a couple of times on some stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why that won't happen, because of the money involved. His son would probably say, Dad, that's a great idea. But you know something? We're going to have to spend some money and give him some money to get things right. So his son is really kind of bouncing him up.
Yeah.
From what
and,
I do
and
know.
And when you and you know let's be honest, let's just say for shits and giggles that they do trade Dak to whoever. What's their plan B? I mean,
right.
You know, remember they tried to anoint this kid after he won one game, and then come to find out that he made Clint Longley look like an all pro. For the
how many years ago?
Yeah, I know I'm dating myself a little bit, but see, here's the thing, and while it's great that Jalen got his coin earlier mm-hmm. this week, you know, Lamar is still out there. You still got I guess Chicago has finally come to their senses and said, okay, we'll work with Justin Fields. You know, but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
you know,
go ahead and make a mistake and let him go. Yeah, go ahead. Do something.
Well, it's a sort of thing where they toyed with the idea of the of drafting a quarterback, but again, like I said, you know, common damn sense came to fruition. You know, give him some weapons, but to show you just how silly, the league is. Now, again, for the umpteenth time, Baltimore refuses to pay Lamar, but
mm-hmm.
go out and sign a guy coming off of an injury, and hasn't played in a year. They give Miss Prissy a contract for a year. Yeah, but they don't want to pay Lamar. And even if Lamar has to be sort of forced to throw to him, you know, you can put it this way, those jokes will write themselves if Lamar and OBJ are on the same team. First of all, he's going to have to tell at some point. He's going to have to go tell his dad to kiss the fattest part of his ass at some point. I mean, Dad has become computer savvy apparently, because remember he had his little video where look at the times my son was wide open.
Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know what a hard drive is. Good. Here's a cookie.
Mike, I will say this about Lamar's situation. I mentioned it last week, and I talked to my boy, my road dog, because I was 13 years old, who was a former prosecutor and lawyer and judge and law professor, and he confirmed what I said. What he's, because he went, at one time he was trying to become an NFL agent, even though he didn't make it. He was doing some other stuff. Anyway, but he confirmed what I was thinking, and he just expounded on it. He said, "Look," he said what I said. If the money that Lamar wanted was packaged in terms of being blocked and locked into a number and another position, like if I'm on the second round, I'm going to get this amount of money. But
right.
The money, he aligned himself with mm-hmm. outlier money. It's great that he wants to represent himself. But with that kind of money and what my man Ray said, with the addition of all the nuance around him even getting that money, he needed a voice and a presence besides him. And unless he gets that, he'll never get what he wants. Look what Jalen Hurry did. With them sisters backing him up. He got a real nice deal. Okay?
Yes, and a
very cat-friendly deal for Philadelphia. And Lamar, he deserved it. But the voices that you need in that room, other than yours, other than your family members, and somebody behind him that's telling the family what to do, they need to be in that room.
Hey, Patrick, you think my man Jalen Hurts' agent is going to step up and get some new clients now since she did a good job?
Oh, she did a very good job. I guarantee you, as sure as I'm black sitting in the chair, she will get some more brothers behind her. She will get some
right
more
about
brothers.
That.
I hope
mm-hmm.
so.
What about some females?
What different sorts of females are out there?
Well, in all honesty, it was a very clever move by his agent, because they said something at the Super Bowl earlier this year where one journalist came out and said, you know, basically, I thought you couldn't play for shit, but you proved me wrong. Like, you need
mm-hmm.
to be proved wrong. I don't
Thank
kiss
you.
My black in it. But the bottom line was,
twice.
Jalen didn't say nothing. He was too busy mm-hmm. being great. And because he was great, he got paid. And that's mm-hmm. how you shut people the fuck up.
Thank
and
you.
Unfortunately, in Philadelphia, they wanted the white quarterback just as badly as Jerry Jones did.
Yes,
they heard Jalen Hurts' name as Tony would say, Hurts, don't it? As soon as they heard his name, they were like, what the fuck? They couldn't believe it. But the bottom line uh-huh. is, Philly doesn't go to the Super Bowl without him. You can make an argument that he was the most valuable player in the league. And on top of all this, he brought a championship to a division that needed some clarity.
And played on a bad ankle. Nobody knew about it. He had to have surgery to clean up his ankle. Nobody knew the shoulder. They knew the ankle was messed up.
Even mm-hmm. a metal plate,
the
ankle.
Yeah.
Mm. A metal plate, the ankle.
He's been
all year long.
Ain't nobody said nothing about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he needs, you know, mm-hmm. and there are other things. You know, Lamar is in a situation that he's kind of on an island because I know why he has to get his guaranteed money, and he deserves it. But you see, there are other things that surrounding his money that he should be enhanced. He got no sponsors. None.
Yeah, thank you.
That's part of the
years.
Problem. He got
no
sponsors, man. And that's
point.
Where he wants it. That's why, because I ain't asking Brother Chase's look. That's what he wants. That's why. But he could take a lower number and deal with it. If you got sponsored to kind of mesh in with that and make up for some of that money. But again, you got to have somebody to speak who can lay that out for you. Not your mama or your aunt, you know, or your cousin. You got to have people in the room that know that.
And let's face it. Your top, you know, all the folks that we talk about as being, you know, uber athletes, you know, Jordan made more money with Nike, Hanes, and all those than he did
yep.
with the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
same thing with LeBron. Remember, you know, the year that LeBron took that Cavs team to the finals the first time when they played the Spurs, he was the fourth highest paid player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was, you know, the Nike money is there. And see, that's the thing. Now, I must admit, if you go into Baltimore, are there, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of kids that are wearing 8 jerseys. But,
mm-hmm.
where are the billboards? What's, you know, other than football, What ads, you know, what do we see him pushing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I mean, now, was he on the cover of Madden at all? I think he was. I mean, that's the thing. Everybody that's in that stratosphere has a signature endorsement,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. And,
mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I mean, Lamar doesn't. I mean, we know that Patrick Mahomes takes these freaky baths, you know, for whatever reason,
Mahomes is making about anywhere from 30 to 35 million a year on endorsements. Come on, man.
When they spent half a billion on
the money, man. What do you think, Professor? If you advise him, Professor, how would you advise him?
First and foremost, protect your hair. He's nothing really black about
having
twigs and
all
that.
That
I don't care. You said, what would I tell him?
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm just saying what him would do.
And see, here's where you got to let your emotions and all that kind of stuff go and get down to business. Who in his circle knows money? When LeBron went out to make his true fortune, he did what everybody thought was a mistake. He got his buddy that he knew he could mm-hmm. trust. But his buddy went to school.
Two of them.
Right. Uh-huh. They went out and learned how to float in. They learned the language, you know, what was it, a few years ago, everybody was about love language. Right. They went out and learned the love money language. And in the process, they learned how to maneuver with the big fish and versus guys who were straight off the corner, you know, who could do metrics with drugs and whatnot, but couldn't count the 10 with dollar past 10 with the dollar bill. So you see these guys who come out of the hood and end up in jail because they go straight back to the hood. Oh, I got a bonus check for $15,000. Let's go buy some. And then, you know, they get rolled over on along the way, get set up. And next thing you know, their other $50,000 going to their lawyer.
There you go.
Yep.
And see, he has nobody with him now who knows money and don't have a, I'll call it a handout mentality, because they are looking out for their interest, not understanding that his interest has to come first, because if he don't get his interest, they don't get theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And see, those are the kind of things that's hurting. I've seen hurt a lot of guys. And
what we're talking about, what we're talking about is quiet money versus loud money. Patrick Mahomes is making $500 million right now, and the quietest $500 million that you can ever make, because everybody knows he ain't gonna get in no trouble. He'll do a goofy commercial every now and then, but he's not gonna be on the police blotter or doing shit after midnight when it's not game night. You know, they know where Patrick is, and give him a good play of barbecue, he'll be quiet, win games, win championships, and we're good. They've already made profit off of him. They can't say that about Jackson. In Baltimore, they don't trust him yet. That's really the truth. They don't trust him in terms of investing in him. In spite of his record, which is a clear winning record, they don't trust, or as my man Mark Ingram said, they don't have big trust in Jackson to deliver the goods. And if they get Miss Prissy to help them out, they don't trust that combination will add up to a championship, division or otherwise.
And Mike, you have to sell it.
My question is, would you?
Would I trust him? I haven't seen him not to be trusted yet. I haven't seen him on the police blotter list. I haven't seen him do some stuff the other folk have done yet. I think in that matter, I could trust him along those lines. But what I don't trust is the people around him to help him make the decisions that need to be made. That's all. And here's something else. I was talking recently about some stuff, and when I worked in entertainment, and they mentioned something about having people around him. You know, I hate to say it, but it's real. When you get to that stratosphere of money, you know, and you get to the main, with the kind of exposure these young folks guys have today, you got to cut people off, even with your family.
That's what I was talking about.
You know something? Go on, Fred.
He has people around him who are good friends, but, you know, we all got good friends, you know, but he has to ensure to himself as well as to the people who are writing the checks is this: when the chips are down, you're not going to have Ray Ray, you know, going up on a cop, going up on somebody in public, going off, just doing something stupid that's going to defame them as well as him. And see, that's the kind of stuff that's, you see, you can't blame the owners for looking at it in that direction, because remember all those commercials and stuff that the quarterback from Charlotte had, and what did they tell him? Don't get no tattoos and keep your hair straight.
And don't make no white girls.
Red meat's okay. White woman, no. and something else. I was talking to the same guy. We're talking about my years in the league. I said, you know something. Some things you can't do. Some of the things that you also got to be careful of. If your family member is giving a barbecue, you can't show up to all of them.
And the deeper in the hood they are, the further you should stay away from them. I'm just being honest. That's true.
If the mama's sick, you know, okay, I'll send them something, but I can't be there. We family, but
hurry up and buy her house and move her.
I'll never forget that. I think he's still with the Cowboys. The offensive lineman,
where he literally
had to take his family to court.
George Wallace's brother did the same thing. The one that played with San Francisco.
I remember that. Yeah,
he had to take several of his family members, including his mother,
to court
because they were doing. I mean, they were doing everything from just going and buying stuff on his charge account.
Ripping his black ass off.
They would go buy it. You come by the house and see it today, and tomorrow it wasn't there. Well, where is it? We sold it.
And that's the kind of thing that really
hocked it.
What that does, if they mess up, who's then going to pay with first?
There you go.
And who they going to remember? Exactly.
So-and-so's cousin. I mean, who's the guy that was on the Jets, Giants last year? His brother shot some money. And he killed him, but they have my man's picture in the paper. So wait a minute. He had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even that part of the country. And you look
exactly.
at that.
Well, if that whole guilt with association. I mean, we have probably, you know, if put this way, if I'm Patrick Mahomes for, like, say, a half hour, I'm getting a whooping stick and telling my brother to stay the hell home, or I'm gonna whoop your ass.
And I might have to
spend the next half hour on my wife doing the same damn thing.
Tony, guess who did that? You know who did that? Warren Moon's wife's first wife. That's what happened to her.
She was spending out money like
it was government cheese. And his family was telling him, you know, he got to be cool. So when they went to court, guess who sat on Moon's side and guess who's by himself? Or somebody sat on Moon's side. She's by herself.
Here's my one last thing for the night. Has anyone seen that white woman that dared to sit with Russell Wilson on draft night?
Oh yeah. Yeah, how about that?
Can you say choo choo? Put it this way. Put it this way.
To quote Denzel Washington, witness protection ain't got shit on her. I'll just leave it at that.
That's true. Certain wide receivers still running low.
But you know, we gotta remember.
I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry.
There's an agenda that must be followed through on. What they need to follow through on is the reality that they have a short time span in which to do this. What I mean by this is between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they will have ideally 10 chances. You got 10 picks, one on day one, two on day two, and as many as seven at least on day three if you got all your picks and you didn't trade them or condition them or whatever. Now, the goal from the draft is to find two guys. We don't care whether they're offense or defense. Just give me two guys. You find two guys? Cool. That's part of it. Now we want you to find two more. Because you're going to find two guys that everybody can say, yeah, they will work. But you're going to find two more that supposedly you did your homework on. Maybe one guy has a lower center of gravity than the other lineman does. Maybe one guy was hurt and didn't get a chance to show himself until later on. But the bottom line is you got to pick these guys. They have 3 years to make good. They have 1 year to learn the playbook, 1 year to learn their teammates. So by the time the third year rolls around, you can plug them in and play. And that's the goal.
Mike, the Bergen and Go, a.k.a. the Commanders, drafted a kid out of North Carolina, which the Custer knows he's such a great quarterback. Just ask him his take. And now, guess who's the offensive coordinator? Eric the Enemy. Talk about getting a loaded deck. Already, he got his hands full. The team with no offensive linemen, good receivers. And now, Patrick, I got to ask the question. What the hell challenge is going on with the sale of the Commanders, man? What have you heard?
Well, I got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm reading it now. One of the things that was holding up the guy, what's the kid's name? Dwight Hawkins? Dwight, oh, I forgot his name. He played with Duke. He played with Bobby Heroin, all those guys.
Yeah, that's the guy that said,
yeah.
I got my money from white folks on the radio.
Yeah,
today.
He was trying to, Brian, I forgot his name. Anyway, he was involved in trying to, said he had money from the Middle East trying to buy the team. You know, okay, yeah. But the Guy Harris is going to get it because the Guy Harris has all the elements to make it work. But what I was going to say about the Commanders, you know, it's hard to say. Right now, the group that with them now will be dealing with the draft, as a matter of fact, the draft starts on the 25th. They start making deals on the 25th. That's Tuesday. The 27th is just a formality. Also on the 25th, word I get, they're just going to do something by the 25th to Aaron Rodgers. Because Lewis Riddick said something on Monday. What I heard, it's kind of connecting the dots. Lewis Riddick said, man, I expect Aaron Rodgers to sign, but if I'm the Jets, I'm going to plan B and taking a quarterback in this draft.
I don't trust Aaron Rodgers.
Me either, Gary.
And very likely,
all that dope you've been smoking, staying in that dark room for all that time. He was smoking that icky, them sticky cigarettes while he was in that dark room. He came back, oh, I thank God.
how can you say he's smoking drugs and stuff? I mean, if you look at him straight on, his eyes just kind of move around. That's how he's able to see the field. His eyes move like railroad lights. That's him too, up and down. helps him to read.
All I know is he'd be in some strange places, hanging out with some strange people.
What happened to Brett Favre?
When are they gonna put him in jail? Because he ain't gonna get away with this.
Hey, they buried the show with Brett Favre. What's going on?
I don't know.
No, nobody's saying anything about me.
White privilege.
I know one thing.
He had the same privilege as an 85-year-old man shooting a black kid. White privilege.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean
put
to say
his butt
that.
In jail forever. Talking about he's not guilty. Then who shot him then? Anyway, don't get me getting down the road.
And then came back and reloaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so don't bring your ass back in the morning, nigga.
We'll see, there you all go being all racial and stuff. Did you all hear that?
I don't care.
In the scene for Cindy, who was riding in a car that was basically turning around in a driveway. And this, I think she's a 20-year-old college student.
20 girl, that's it, yeah.
Got on the head. Dropped her right there.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be pulling on my driveway no more. That's a damn
thank you. Thank you, Hurricane.
Have a slip that you turn into the wrong, into a wrong driveway or down the wrong street. I mean,
yeah.
There is no way either one of those can really well, especially the one where the guy basically shot it from the porch. From what it sounded like, they're out in the driveway, which is away from the house.
Yeah,
that person posed no threat to him whatsoever.
Yep. So you said target practice?
Damn thing. But
well, that's
yeah.
Urban League. Urban League did a report about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's again. There's a mic about the draft. It starts the 25th, and the other one. I told you last week. I mentioned you tonight, Mike. That boy Leavis from Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Don't be surprised.
I'm waiting for the moving of the charts for the University of Kentucky is Leavis. They're already trying to hype him up, talking about he's got this super strong arm and all that. It's like, well, big fucking meal. I ain't worrying about the arm. I'm worrying about the legs. I'm worrying about the brain. They will never make that connection with a black quarterback. They've already started to talk about the fact that Carolina, Fred, will get the first pick. Carolina hasn't had the first pick in a while. As a matter of fact, I don't think they've had it since the expansion draft.
And Alabama.
So now they want to push
them up with that Carolina food.
They want to push
don't
white kids.
Don't be surprised.
The Carolina folks. So
there you go.
Carolina take that boy from Kentucky number one. They deserve what they get.
Reggie,
the Jets took Zach Wilson last year. Come on.
Exactly.
Hey, you talking about Mr. Donald Trump, him and his mom, the mega? We have mega
exactly.
Powers. Twin
exactly.
Towers, mega powers.
Yeah. So Fred,
got his ass looking on the
bench. Carolina's got the first pick. Do they take this white boy, or do they have some sense come to them, and they pick the best available player that suits their needs?
Mike.
And the front office knows what the hell they're talking about when it comes to fit the pieces together.
Let them have it, Fred.
Mm-hmm. Mike. And all the rest of y'all, you all know that I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. If they take any of these guys who are on the list as the hottest quarterback, you know, this other thing, I don't care. All I care about is the team in the black and yellow. I don't care. If they're going to pick some of these sorry guys that are on the list to be chosen, is how soon do we play them? Including if Baltimore don't come through and do the right thing by their quarterback in waiting. Fine. We'll break him up like he's going to break up anybody else for the year. I mean, that's just
right.
Because, see, here's the deal. We've had three coaches in the last, what, 50 years?
Yeah.
And we're banking on him coming through for us again, winning up, at least competing for a Super Bowl. Because if we don't, then we may have to have our fourth coach in the last 50, whatever how many years it is. Because we can only take losers so long. And the fact that he hasn't had a
Mike Tomlin, a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, is Mike Tomlin a Hall of Fame coach?
Yeah. I think he is.
We have
discussed this whole thing about the Hall of Fame. They are so busy trying to find out some little nitpicky crapola to keep somebody from going in versus looking at their real record. And there are a number of guys out there. And here's how bad it is. There's some white guys out there who should be in that aren't in yet. So if they've got white guys,
Otis Taylor should have been in. God bless you. So Otis Taylor is gone. He should have been in.
There's too many people. You know, I was talking to some people earlier today about Hall of Fame at one of the institutions. I said, listen, my contention has long been we put too many people into Hall of Fame posthumously versus have them walk in, invite their friends. It's like having a second funeral. And that's not how it should be. Here's where a lot of people make their mistake on Hall of Fame. They don't have people who are in it voting. So you got a bunch of knee-jerk guys out there who may be reporters or whatever, who have their own agenda and their own
agenda.
A few years ago, we discussed it openly and thoroughly.
Right.
Too many people are out there who should be in every Hall of Fame there is. You got some asshole out there who don't know the game, has his own personal prejudices, and they keep rejecting people.
Exactly.
Whenever he goes into the Hall of Fame, LC Green will be disappeared in 20 years than he is now. Why isn't he in?
Yep. Exactly.
And Fred, I'm going to throw this in too, Fred, right behind you, Fred. Right behind you. You know what I'm going to throw in? The young reporters, these young reporters now in media, on all platforms with the love and the dependence on analytics.
Yes. Yeah. Emphasis on anal. They have no fucking clue.
Thank you. Wasn't the brother that was covering Jackie Robinson and football? I'm going to say, wasn't those?
Yeah.
Did he get to the Hall of
Wendell
Sports
Smith.
Hall of Fame for baseball?
Did he get in?
Yeah. Yeah. And what about the scout they got in the room maybe after that with the Steelers? I think he went in after he passed.
Bill Nunn.
Bill Nunn.
He should have been in.
He should have got in the Hall of Fame long time ago.
One of the most tragic aspects of the Hall of Fame was not having Ken Rowley in 10 years ago.
I agree, but you got to remember, look what you're dealing with. You have people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and we don't need ancient history for this. Look at the year Seattle drafted Russell Wilson. Bruce Irvin was their first pick, and he hung on for like 8-9 years. So they had a defensive lineman, a middle linebacker in Wagner, a wide receiver in Golden Tate, a defensive back in Sherman, a defensive wide receiver in Baldwin. I mean, Seattle found six or seven players. If you find three in a draft, that's a good draft. They found seven, and Mel Kiper had the fucking nerve to say Seattle got an F. It's people like that who don't know what the fuck they're talking about that get on our fucking nerves. And then, of course, 2 years later, Johnny Manziel comes along with the money sign, and, oh, he's a poor man's Russell Wilson. Yeah, fuck you. You didn't even know what the Bears were for this thing.
Rather than 50,000,
50,000. And doing the Washington game.
All because they want to sell tickets. That's what that was. But that's what it did. But yeah, but it's the situation now that I said, who this draft? If I believe, I'm not so sure because I'm still reading up on the draft. Quite frankly, I haven't got to the NFC. I went to the NFC first, going through stuff. It's a situation to where I think after the quarterbacks go, there's going to be run on edge rushers and defensive linemen.
Oh, definitely.
Big time.
Yep.
Big time. And I'll say this. I'm going to say this before, Mike. The people who are actually thinking with the Chicago Bears about messing with Justin Fields should have been fired just thinking about it. Because
no,
as we know, if Justin Fields was on the Jets this year rather than Zach Wilson, they'd have made the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no doubt.
They would have made the playoffs.
No doubt about it. But, of course, that's, again, asking the question, who can play and who can't? You hire people to pick people who can play. And if they can't do that, what the fuck good are they? Get rid of it, dumbass. Because the incompetence spreads just like mediocrity, like a fucking disease. If you stick with average and you can't do anything better but find average, average is what you're going to get. If you can't look at a game film and see how Elsie Greenwood takes his man consistently and outplays him, you have no reason to be there. Seriously, you have no business in the press box. Get the fuck out. Because clearly, you're taking up space.
Go on, Chris.
You know, something else to look at, too, because everybody is so hooked on these, quote, major colleges. I looked at their offense and their defense, the Steelers' offense and defense, man for man. Do you realize close to half of those guys came from small schools, either Division II?
They were hungry.
Or anywhere.
Yeah.
To include one, Mr. Green, which North Texas State, when it was an NAIA school, it was on par.
Yeah.
Actually, it was probably below par to such schools as that were in state of Texas, Prairie View, Texas Southern.
Yeah.
You know, we pretty well know that Coach Rob would have run over him and most other, you know, it's just ridiculous. And you had half the guys who started were from small, from NAIA school or whatever. But, you know, they still play that game that, oh, there's no talent there. So they squeeze these guys out, but then they take mediocre guys from the larger school and think they're going to get home. You know, as we used to tell guys, there's a reason you don't start and they do. Well,
it's true.
You know, I'm 6'2", 235. Yes, you are. But you can't maneuver. You get caught looking in the backfield. All the little bad habits you got. And see, as quiet as it kept most of the guys that we're talking about were also undersized. All that crap about Green being 270, 280, it was, what, that didn't happen until he was almost ready to retire. Greenwood at 6'6 and a half only weighed like 240 pounds.
That's right.
Mad Dog probably weighed 245, maybe 250. The Arrowhead, he probably weighed 250, but he was only 6'2", and that held against him. You see, all this analytic stuff, it has its place, but it's not the only thing. I personally wouldn't build a team around.
You know something, Fred? One of the things that happens, the only bowl, you know, we have bowl games during bowl season, but for college graduates, the only bowl I really pay attention to is the Senior Bowl. Because the Senior Bowl in Alabama, they get the cross-section of players that stand out. And that makes it – I'm not talking about these other games where the guys toss themselves, but the Senior Bowl, because that's where two NFL coaches are coaching against each other. And I've been told numerous times, that's the one to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Point. That's where I would go, because you got guys who are on the bubble, so to speak, but they're out front.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out front for a good reason. They should be out front. And because something, you know, it's not a popularity contest like a lot of these other ones are.
But also, and Mike, I should tell you, just remind you, not that you didn't know, but just update you. Well, that date, the 25th, is important on the radar. That's when not only the teams, but the agents do the last pitch on their players.
That's right.
Forget what the scouts do. I mean, that's not forget. You know what the scouts do and teams do, but the agents are calling their golfing buddies. You know, I got this guy to be in the second round. You know, what goes on people don't know about.
Yep. The people don't know about that because
therein lies another reason that young man needs at least needs an agent on his team, whether he does the out front stuff or not. He needs somebody who truly knows and speaks the language of the
player,
as well as player personnel. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's why every corporation has an HR department. People who know personnel, who can judge personnel, who can take care of personnel, and that's why you do that. It's hard. I mean, I'm not questioning his intellect, but let's look at the realities. He has a horse in the race, and that's his only horse. If you sit in a room with some people who talk numbers, a lot of them zeros can get you confused real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than that, though, Fred. It's one thing to have a horse in the race. It's one to have a chance to pick the winning horse. That tell you right from the bat. Look, go to the stall, tell me which one's going to win. We'll make sure of it. I was at that 99 draft that I'm sure Patrick and Tony and other folks were. There's no fucking way Tim Couch was better than Donovan McNabb. But you couldn't believe that. But I, you know, Cleveland,
them
didn't
got
even
there,
think
bro.
About it.
They just got
twice.
In there.
Yeah,
I know that draft like it was yesterday, because I could have swore the Browns should have took McNabb, plus what's it going on? Tim Couch only ran 15 plays, and he's running some plays in the freaking ground.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it didn't matter though, because once the pick was made, and Eagles took McNabb. The fans jumped on him like he committed somebody's crime and stole some mama's pocketbook.
It's like, what the fuck y'all looking at? Don't y'all see this guy clearly is a better player? You look at the film, taped on live. We saw where there was potential for Donovan to be really good. We saw also a reason why Couch was really going to be bad. And it didn't matter. The front office had made their mind up as to who they were going to take. And they took them. And they got took. You know?
For $32 million.
Yeah. For everything Cleveland did wrong, Philly did right.
$32 million he walked away with. I mean, he wasn't a bad quarterback, but he wasn't the first rounder.
He damn sure wasn't a first rounder. If they had left him alone and gave him a playbook to study, he might have been a backup after 3 years. But it don't work like that. Not when you got people yelling in your ear that so-and-so is supposed to be a star. And, of course, you know those black guys can't play quarterback. I mean, how many other folks have just lost out to the whole premise that your guy can't play? Well, what are you talking about? He's black. He can't play. He can't play because I don't want him to play. It's like I own the team. I decide who plays. And if I decide he can't play, he won't play.
And Mike, you got to know these agents and the market companies that they attach to, which give players sponsorships. You know that they're talking to Mel Kiper and Tom McNucklehead and his group. Please.
You know they are. Trying to get some last-minute love. So-and-so's moving up the truck. Why are they moving up the trucks? Because somebody got a payment under the table saying, talk up before my boy and shit. And I'll look at you on the back end. If he makes it to the second or third round, I got another cut for you. Let's not act like it don't happen because it does.
Oh, yes, it does. And I go back to classic situations. Zach Wilson, when your uncle is the CEO of JetBlue, and he can be drafted by the Jets, you think, man, please. Please.
Thank you. It's just pathetic.
That's what the Jets get for drafting them. Now you set the franchise back. That's what they get.
Ridiculous. So, which leads, you know, I don't make predictions on the draft. I will say what person's going to be around, but I don't know. I'm not into. Because I know how it's done. I know what these guys do on the 21st, 2 days before the draft, and who's behind it, you know, and who's gonna make a trade, and who's saying that Jerry Jones gonna do something crazy? I want this guy because Jerry nuts, you know. So anything can happen.
Crazy anywhere to be.
Jerry Jones owns the team. Jerry Jones has a dog in the fight. And he wants to make sure if he's got a dog in a fight, it's a white dog. You already know. Being about wins for Jerry. Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback, whether I like him or not. And he got him for a steal. He got him in the fourth round out of Mississippi State. So his rookie contract was next to nothing.
Jerry, this is how stupid this is.
Yes.
Jerry Jones put people around Prescott. He was miserable twice, but because he's been a moron, he didn't want to win. So,
well,
there you go.
Well, Mike, I will tell you this. I will tell you this, Mike, and I told you a couple weeks ago. I said the 49ers are going to have a different quarterback this year. I said that white brother won the 6-plus games. He going to start. Guess what happened today? Trey Lance asked for a be traded.
Yeah.
I'm reading it right now.
Well, it makes sense that Lance asked for a trade because he wasn't getting a run. Once mm-hmm. Bryce Purdy started winning those games,
he was done.
Lance knew it was a wrap. He said he could chuck it up. So he's like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yep.
And it's a smart move because I could say Pittsburgh could use a quarterback, but there's no guarantee that he'd get a chance to play. There are these four or five franchises that could use a quarterback right now, but they won't get him because it's not made for them to get. Somebody else in the front office has decided that this is our guy. Whether he's good enough or bad enough, we find out on the field of battle. But the long and short of it is, Lance, for what little flash he did get, he's not going to be enough, and he's the wrong color. So he's not going to get that run. Somebody like the kid out of Kentucky, or the other white guy who I trying to tout, he'll get selected in the first round and be like, the job is yours to win and lose. We don't care. We're happy. And bottom line, they'll allow that. They won't care that it's about wins and losses because they'll say, the guy's a rookie. You know, Trevor Lawrence came in from Jacksonville, and he was just a rookie. But when he won that playoff game, he wasn't a rookie anymore. When he won that playoff game, Jay Jones was like, oh, shit, I could have got him for next to nothing. So bottom line, they're all on borrowed time because they count.
And all he had to do was put away. Give him a haircut.
Who can they lock up with? Exactly. All they have to do is put on a headset, man. But
I do know there's one, I forget this kid's name from Jacksonville, a middle linebacker. He's moving the charge big time. He's the black player I think who's getting the most chances I've seen so far in studying in the AMC.
Uh-huh.
The guy's name is, the first name is Andrew, the guy's last name. But he was the middle linebacker for Jack State last year.
So, okay.
We'll see. We'll see. But I think there will be a high number of HEs players in this draft. How about the first round? Well, I think there'll be a high number this year.
It looks like they tried to be more aggressive in that regard. Do you think, Reggie and Fred, do you think they've made more of an effort to include HBCU players in the process?
Yeah, but they did it back in, okay, yeah, we'll let you in, but you have to do A, B, C to get it. I like that.
Mm. Well, but I think there will be some additional interest because that's already been shown. The problem is you still got the same system in place, the same group of good old boys. They will look across the table, so to speak, wink at each other, and do business as usual. That's what they've done for years. And even when, you know, we can go back far enough and look at Aeneas Williams, who was undrafted, who was a walk-on in college, basically a walk-on in the pros, in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's extreme, but it shows how wrong they can be about different ones.
True.
How many over years? Go back to, Harold Carmichael. They questioned his ability to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And it went so far as to keeping him for a while, keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. Different ones that you've seen these guys. So with this, I'm taking a wait and see because slowly but surely the Neon Deion syndrome is waning away. and it's going to take about halfway through his season up there in them hills, and they're going to say, this is a Negro who's all a flash in the pan, or he's brilliant. You see, so long as it's marketing and publicity and that kind of stuff, as they say, you ain't got to hit nobody, you don't have to physically hit nobody, it's easy to talk trash. Wait till the rubber hits the road and you see what comes out of it.
Yeah, that's the approach I'm taking. We'll see what happens. I got to look up a day to look at the AFC, what's going on. And, you know, then I just look.
Well, we got at least two quarterbacks who should get first round contention. That's C.J. Stroud of Ohio State and Richardson from Florida. Now, there's another one, Hooker from Tennessee.
Yep.
You might be right.
And Richardson, too, might go to first round. Lower first round, though.
I like all four.
It might. An extension of what we were just talking about, the running back that played for Minnesota for a number of years, who was one of the top rushers, I've watched a video of him. Who?
Muhammad? Yeah, Muhammad.
He was from Georgia Southern.
Right.
He led the nation in rushing each year he played there.
Uh-huh.
And he was the leading rusher in the nation at least three out of 4 years of record each level each year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know he's a 1AA player. He was told at one point that he was not going to make the pros because he couldn't talk. He's a running back. Who do you talk to anyway?
Exactly.
Yeah, fortunately, the school had already hooked him up with a speech therapist. And by the time he was a junior, you could understand what he would easily understand what he was saying. But it shows how petty some of these quote unquote expert and observers can be.
Mm.
You know. You mean a member of my church? You know, I told him, you know, I don't hate him because he's a Raider. I just don't like him because he's a Raider. But you know, they told him he was too soft.
Right.
He played at Tennessee for 5 years, and you know, he stands a very good chance of starting this year. And I say, you know, they will find any little nitpicky crapola to pace on somebody, and these are usually people who don't know what the hell they're talking about, but they're gatekeepers, and they get out there, and they're, for a reason known only to them, their opinions are made to sound like it's better than it is, to look like it's better than it is. And
it bothers me that they're even in, because why are they there and why are they keeping your gate? They're stopping you from succeeding, you dumb fuck. Obviously, if they knew who the fuck could play, they wouldn't be there because they don't know. And the teams that literally let that nonsense go benefit from that. I can remember my Eagles and the fact that when Jeffrey Lurie bought the team, he bought them for $200 million. Now they're worth over $4 billion. And they got a Super Bowl to their credit. And they played in another one last year. You know, that's just...
He still can't beat the Steelers, but go ahead.
Off an investment. Well, I agree. But the whole point is, for every Eagles that has learned, you have franchises that don't care. Cleveland has spent buku bucks since 99. Patrick, and they have nothing to show for it. Despite the fact that Watson is going to get $250 million for six seasons, it doesn't change the fact that they're not getting anything because they haven't even made a playoff yet. And they're hoping, not wishing, not defining that they clearly have a chance, but they're hoping that Watson is who they believe he is. That's not the kind of risk you take with that kind of money.
Well, the camp opened up, and I got to listen to two press conferences. Deshaun, he's Bills are good. They got him some more help.
Right.
His tight end from Texas is really good, along with what we got in Eric Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have some weapons. And we'll see what happens. I'm confident that he's going to do well, quite frankly, because he's got weapons.
Give him two losses and go ahead.
Yeah, at least two. Yeah. Well, at least one this year.
Gary,
we're going to get you one time.
He'll probably split with Cincinnati.
Yeah, and you guys just got a good receiver, Allen Robinson III. I don't know how you pull that off, but you got him.
The spirit of Bill Nunn still lives on. Well, Bill Nunn and the Chief, those were the two genes that put together all the great teams over the years.
Robinson is a good receiver, and that was a shrewd move, for real. But bottom line in all this, that's what it's about. You got to know who can play, who can't, and make the move and play beat the clock with the other franchise. If you can't do that, you may as well stay the fuck home, because you're not going to be much good to anybody anyway.
I just hope they can get their defense back up to par, because that makes a whole lot of difference in any team. If you can't stop nobody, you're not going to just outscore.
Amen.
In today's environment, it's very rare you're going to be able to just outscore somebody. And that was, like I said, I watched numerous, because when they were a club team, we actually played against Georgia Southern. And I was coaching for Fort Bragg at the time. And, I got to know several of the coaches and some of the players and so forth. And, they put that program together from scratch. And I think it was their second year of actual varsity play. They won the 1AA national championship 2 years in a row. I think they missed 2 years and they came back here and hit again. But they won six. And it shows what HBCUs could do if they would do. Because when they released, they hired this coach from the University of Georgia. He was their defensive coordinator, and he didn't have players. I mean, he had players who were, quote, all that big, but his biggest running back was probably 215 maybe. But I looked at how they ran the ball. They ran the triple option, double wing triple option, and They took all your heart on with their defense, and their offense just rammed it down your throat.
Mm-hmm. Listen, they'll come playoff games. That's for sure. Yeah, so we'll see.
Gary, you're dealing with the reality that Super Bowl is going to be in your town this year. Does that give the Raiders any extra incentive to play with the passion or with a sense of urgency, knowing that the light's going to be on them whether they like it or not?
No. No, because the Raiders are making money and nobody around there, they don't care. They're going to win money anyway. They don't care.
You're right. People don't realize that for every team that may seem like they're exerting to find the winning formula, find the extra player, there are some that are like, well, we got, we're happy with what we got. We're making money. We're doing it. We're creating a profit.
The city of Las Vegas will make more. we make more money than they did all year. What we getting?
You're right.
You know, and Mike, you know, just thinking about it, it sounds like the Raiders are doing what Carolina and several other teams are doing, because, I mean, you got people who are billionaires already, or groups of people who equal up to billionaires, and sports is like a toy to them. You may get one or two out there. The Roney's own the Steelers. Somebody owns the Raiders, and Jerry Jones owns the Cowboys. And you look at the, you take a step back and just look at the whole thing objectively. And I would say probably 2/3 of the NFL couldn't give half a damn about who won, because
you're right.
Their coffers are already full at home, and this is how they go out and, you know, like I said, there'd be a few of them who can try to make it. Because see, in most cases, although they may be experts at whatever, in most cases, they sports entertainment, which is what they're participating in, is not their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, they're willing, you know, this is something they can, you've at least seen inside some of those owners' boxes, and you know, even when you're on the road, it's luxury all the way.
Yep. Right about that shit. And they don't care who is spending the money. It's all going toward the game. Everybody's getting some. And even the teams that don't handle it well are getting some. So count the draft and everything from it as another revenue stream. And when you add it all up, it's more money, more money, more money. Nobody's going to complain. Nobody's going to say this thing's unfair. What they will say is, you think it's unfair? Pick better people. Who can pick better people? If you can't, shut the fuck up, collect your check, and sit down.
Hey, Mike, let me throw this in. If you look at the administration, and you have copies of media guys, football or even basketball. Do you ever notice you got in football? You got what, 53 players?
Yeah.
Look at the marketing and all that kind of stuff. Departments within the confines and the administrative structure for a football team and basketball, this is flat out ridiculous. Everything from the people who do the media guys right on up the line, there are more people associated with the team, because the reality is an NBA team probably has a total of like 15 or 16 players for guys they have in reserve. Football, they got 53. And even if you're on the taxi squad, so to speak, you get paid something. But you take that number and put it up against their marketing departments and all those other things that's behind the scenes. This is why I tell kids, learn the business of football. Learn the business of basketball. Hey, there's some people who get Stephen A. is a prime example. Stephen A. makes more money than a lot of players ever make.
Because
he learned the business of football. He learned the business of basketball and those kind of things. And there's some things you can do that don't require you to be able to run. Because I remember watching some team, and one of their marketing people has been confined to a wheelchair for 20-some years. But he's still raking. Homeboy getting paid.
Yep. That's true. Reggie, I want you to assess what's been going on in Washington before we get the final thoughts. You know, owners obviously abuse their power to a degree, but few have done it the way Snyder has. Is NFL going to crack down on this fool before the season starts.
I'm trying to run about me again, Mike.
I said, is the NFL going to crack down on Snyder before the season starts?
Remember, that's what I was talking to Patrick about before.
Exactly.
The way things are looking, Patrick, you might help me with that one, because would they be real quiet right now?
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, either way he goes, he gets paid.
Right.
Yeah.
And he gets really paid.
He paid $800 million.
Keep being wonderful.
And then we're $5 billion out. That's going to be the asking price to walk away. It's going to be at least $5 billion to get rid of Snyder. So he would have made almost 500% on his initial investment. That's pretty good no matter how you see it.
Yep.
Well, that's enough to open the doors for final thoughts. Reggie, set us off, please.
I'm still trying to figure out how a young man can go to a door, make an honest mistake. The same house the police went to made an honest mistake. And John Wayne Gunslinger comes out blasting.
Yep.
I mean, the Urban League did a story about voter rights. Also did a story about what's happening in Florida. And it's got to the point now where we better figure out that when it comes to this country, if we're going to stand up and move forward economically or get left behind. It's no great savior is going to come out to the clouds and save us. And as Professor said, we got to learn and do for ourselves, just my opinion.
True that. Well said. Thank you, Reggie. Patrick, are you there? Now, I know you're not in the lobster mac and cheese yet. Patrick, are you there? Not yet. Well, just so y'all know, Patrick's got a birthday coming up. His birthday's the day before mine, so happy birthday or pre-birthday to you and the missus. Enjoy that lobster mac and cheese. So now you can't have us so much, but so often. While we're waiting on Patrick to get a plate, Fred, come on in.
Happy birthday to both of you old dudes. And many, 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 many more. Where do we start? You know, we got the draft coming up, and hopefully this year, this will be somewhat of a return to the good old days when you have a dozen or more HBCU players. I'm deep down, I would love to see each team to get at least one HBCU player, which would mean that we'd have, I think, 32 in the mix. But either way we go with it, you know, we've gone back and forth about the value of what Deion Sanders did or did not do, whether or not he should have stayed. You know, some schools, the administrations were not ready for the elevation, and they may never get ready. But at least we shine enough of the light out there so we can see what we need to do and see. We'll see who put themselves out front to be out front, because one thing he harps on with his players is you got to earn it. And we go back to a lot of old heads who who had to climb up the rough side of the mountain, so to speak, to get to the top. But at the same time, though, they did what was necessary. And we go back to Jake Gaither's, the Big House Games, the Eddie Robinson's, and right on down the list. We have just among HBCU players, we have a treasure trove of people in football, basketball, baseball, as well as track and field and other sports. It's a matter of us telling our own story, and we don't think it's our fault if nobody else knows our story, because we have been telling it, and we still got to keep telling it.
True that. Right on, Fred. Thank you for that. www.blackheritagereview. Gary, come on in.
This week begins the greatest tournament of our time. The National Hockey League began the tournament this past weekend. The NHL is doing a great job with black players. This year, it'll be the highest number of players in the playoffs for 15. 15 black stars on the ice. Watch at least one game and support these black players. I'm very proud of my gold brothers.
Yes, indeed.
Good work. We have a gold 1 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday is a Motown sound with Diana Ross.
All right.
You got to go O-Town, Motown, old school. We like all that stuff. And let me echo congratulations to the NHL for growing the fuck up. The steady flow of black players has added to the game. Joe Ward said once upon a time that hockey is for everyone, and we believe him. Patrick, are you there now?
Live and living color.
Oh, shit.
I'm back.
Drop that sandwich and throw something in the pot.
Well, I'll tell you this. As of this year, there are only 6% of black players in major leagues. 6%.
Uh-oh.
It's going backwards.
They're backwards now. They're backwards. A couple years ago it was 13, now it's 6%. And the ongoing question, how are they going to get ball, young kids to play the game? They've done studies. I was a part of one years ago, but 6% is tough. And I said for a long time, you know, the best athletes just ain't playing baseball. So
yeah,
but to the major leagues, that's a tough number to swallow. Only 6%.
Damn, let's fuck that. We may have to go Pennsylvania Avenue to get an answer for this, or some sort of direction as to what they need to do.
May I have your attention, please? Ladies and gentlemen, the 40th President of the United States.
Tom Matthews, UPI. Mr. President, earlier this year you said that you would travel anywhere in the world to further the cause of peace. Considering the worsening situation in the Mideast, are you planning a trip there in the near future?
We have no definite plans as of yet to go to the Mideast, but we do plan maybe perhaps in a couple of years after settlement and the agreements have not been reached by that time.
Thank you. Paul Onaki from Honolulu News. Mr. President, the Senate has voted to proceed with development of the neutron bomb. Don't you feel this will impede further progress in the salt talks with the Russians?
Quite contrary to that fact, the matter of nuclear existence deals with atoms and atomic weapons, not with neutron weapons. The neutron bomb is a holocaust weapon. It is not in the cellular realm of reality. We're trying to hold it in place, and it's a neo-pacifist weapon.
Terrence Richards, AP.
Yes,
thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask you a question which I'm sure the American people would like to know. Do you feel that within the fiscal year, the unemployment rate will drop below the 5% level?
Well, as you know, the 5% level pertains mostly to, if I may say, white America. In the black America, the minority situation is up to as high as 45%. And we plan to, with all our efforts, try to lower that rate to about 20% in the black areas, and of course it will be lower in the white areas, of course. We're trying to do this and merge a United States.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Arthur Williams, Chicago Sun-Herald. You've just okayed a $250 million increase in our space program. What I'd like to know is the main reason you did this so we can finally recruit black people for the space program?
I feel it's time that black people went to space. White people have been going to space for years. And spacing out on us, as you might say. And I feel with the project that we have in mind, we're going to send explorer ships through other galaxies, and no longer will they have the same type of music, Beethoven, Brahms, and Tchaikovsky. From now on, we have little Miles Davis and Charlie Parker. We're going to have some different kind of things in there. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Roberta Davies, Jet Magazine. Mr. President, on your list of candidates for director of the FBI, are you including the name of Huey Newton?
Yes, I figure that Huey Newton is best qualified. He knows the ins and outs of the FBI, if anybody knows the ins and outs. And he would be an excellent director.
Yo, Blood. Brother Bell from Ebony Magazine. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
As-salamu alaykum.
All right. What you looking at, Snow White? Brother, about black and the labor force. I want to know what you're going to do about having more black brothers as quarterbacks in the National Football Hunter League. Okay.
I plan not only to have lots of black quarterbacks, but we're going to have black coaches and black owners of teams. As long as it's going to be football, there's going to be some black in it somewhere.
Right.
Doing something
right.
Right. Because I'm tired of this mess that's been going on.
Right.
Ever since the Rams got rid of James Harris, I've been my dog on the top. You know, so he's going to get fired on the face now.
Yeah,
what is
Mr. President?
Yeah, what?
What's the white
Mr. Bigby, Mississippi Herald.
Sit down.
Mrs. Fenton Carlton Macker, Christian Women's News. Mr. President, uh-oh, since you've become president, uh-oh, you've been seen and photographed on the arms of black women. Quite frankly, sir, you've been courting an awful lot of white women. Will this continue?
As long as I can keep it up.
Make that soldier stand up.
You think they call it the White House?
Oh, God.
Mr. President. Now, your predecessor, you know, President Carter, now, his mother was a nurse before.
What is your question about, sir?
My question, I'm leading up to my question. The question is about your mother, if you want to be paying.
It's okay. Please.
Put your chair down, Gary. Put your
the
chair down, Gary.
Right. Please. Let's have some decorum here.
Now, what is the question about my dear mother? Okay.
Now, your mother was a maid in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Now, after your tenure, if your mother goes back to being a maid, right, will your mama do my house?
Space is the place. We'll see you guys next week. See you Sunday. Everybody go safe, stay safe, and be safe. Good night.
God bless.